8th chapter, and we're going to pick it up from the 11th verse tonight. There's so much in this portion. When we study the word anymore, it seems like I want to understand. I want to understand what the Lord is speaking. He's written this for us, for our learning. And there are things in this book that no man is ever going to uncover in a lifetime. There are riches here that I don't care how much we study, we can never learn it all in a lifetime. It's so rich. All right, from the 11th verse, let's read down through the 15th. I believe we'll go that far and then we'll pick it up. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. One reason why this has impressed me so in studying this today is that Israel went through this at this time, but they're going to go through it in a worse way in the future. And that's what has really spoken to my heart. The Lord tells Isaiah, he said, he spoke to me with a strong hand and instructed me. It's interesting the meaning of these names. This word strong, it's in the hand of God. It's the hand of God impelling me by the Spirit of God, or it overpowers me. This is what we want the Lord to do in our lives. It's a very impressive and energetic act of God which overpowers all perception, sensation, and thought. And it's different from the usual prophetic state. This is something that Ezekiel experienced 7 times in the book of Ezekiel. And I'll just quickly give those to you. I looked them up today because this book of Ezekiel is also end time prophecy. But it's mentioned in the 1st chapter in the 3rd verse of Ezekiel that the hand of God was upon him, the strong hand. The 3rd chapter and the 14th verse and the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter. Chapter 8:1, this is all in Ezekiel. Chapter 33:22. Chapter 37:1 and chapter 40:1. This is something, as we said, that over when the hand of God, it impelled him. It was the Holy Spirit that he lost all perception and thought because the Holy Spirit had just overpowered him. Praise the Lord. And then the word instructed here means he admonished or dissuaded from anything. He instructed him. Dissuaded from anything or admonished him, instructed him. What did he instruct him in? That I should not walk in the way of this people. Now this people is the rest of the nation Israel. That's what he's talking about here. And he, as Isaiah and the few that were with him, were not that they were to disassociate themselves from the apostasy at that time. The apostasy in Israel at this time was terrible, and it's terrible today. We know that those that are believers over there in Israel today, or wherever an Israelite is today, they are not an Israelite, really. And we are really not Gentiles in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free, but we're a new creation. These Jewish groups, they say, were a Jewish Christian or a Christian Jew. That is unscriptural because, according to the Word, there's no Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free. There's a new creation, and that's what we are. In the natural, yes, we were a Gentile, but in the spiritual, we're a new creation. All right, what they were to say, they were not to say a confederacy, that 11th verse, the last part of it, that I should not walk in the way of this people. And I, we, of course, 2 Corinthians 6:17 comes to mind, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. That's a scripture that we refer to so much. But this is, he's speaking about Christendom. And this is what the apostate Christendom. And this is what the Lord's telling Isaiah here. Don't walk in the way of apostate Israel. And we're not to walk in the way of the apostate Christendom today. All right, he says, say ye not a confederacy. The word here, confederacy, should be conspiracy. This alliance of Rezin, who was king of Assyria, and Pekah, who was the king of Israel, was really a conspiracy against the house of David. And the conspiracy was coming in God's will against rebellious Israel. But Isaiah and the few that were with him were not to join it and cry conspiracy. They were to be separate from this conspiracy. They were trying to overthrow the house of David. And when I looked last night on the BBC News and saw Clinton and Barack, did you see their faces, especially Barack's? I noticed him. I never seen that expression on his face before, but he was really determined. They are trying to compel them to give up Jerusalem, and they don't want to give up Jerusalem. Well, they're going to have to make some concessions, but this whole land is going to be so overwhelmed by all the nations of the world. They're trying to hold on to it now, but they're not going to be able to. When they turn to the Lord will fight their battles. But right now, they've got a lot of sorrow coming to them. This word fear here means a frozen fear. These people that were in this confederacy or in this conspiracy were trying to put this frozen fear over on this little remnant. And the Lord tells them here, don't be afraid. And then he says, I want to read these verses out of the Hebrew from verse 12. It's, cry not ye confederacy, as this people all are crying, neither fear what they are fearing. Let not this their dread affright you. Sanctify the Lord to say Baal, for indeed 'tis well to fear him. Well, before him may ye tremble. So he shall become to you a refuge safe, a sanctuary. But to both of Israel's houses he shall be a stone of tripping, rock that causes them to stumble. He shall be a snare and a gin to Jerusalem, for its dwellers, striking foot against it, shall stumble. Falling shall be dashed to pieces. Being snared shall so be taken. You know, when we study prophecy, and we mention this so often when we study prophecy, we should enter in spirit, and this is what Brother Astle talked about down at the conference. When John was in spirit on the different days and the times and places where he was, we should enter in to where that individual was and what was going on at that time. When we study the word, if we put ourselves in the place of this individual like Isaiah, we will begin to understand what he went through. We'll begin to understand, and we will sorrow along with him. And this is what the Lord has helped us to do today in our studying. But they were not to fear. The way of God was now a very different one from the way of the people. Whosoever trusted in the Lord had no need to be afraid. Do we have any need to be afraid today? You know, there's so many things that come up that cause one to be afraid. I was reading in Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, I believe it was, yesterday, in that little devotion book. And when Nehemiah went to build a wall, or the gates around Jerusalem. Sanballat and Tobiah were there. And they tried to get him to go into the desert, because they wanted to kill him, is what they wanted. And they didn't get it done. It's a wonderful chapter. They didn't get that done, but then they tried to use a priest, a false priest, to persuade him to go in the house of the tent, into the temple, and shut the doors so he could kill him. And Nehemiah said he wasn't going to do it. I forget the words, but now God gave Nehemiah wisdom and discernment that they were trying to stop God's work, and that's what this is here. The enemy would want to put a fear within us because of so many things that go on today. But I think of that scripture, is it in Timothy? He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Fear is of Satan, and we are not going to give him one inch. Praise the Lord. So he says, in the 13th verse, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. This is Jesus. This is who he's talking about. Jehovah Tisabaoth. Sanctify him, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Lord of hosts, set him apart. Sanctify him. Set him apart. And give him the rightful place in your hearts. Fear only to dishonor him. And when we do this, he will be a sanctuary unto us. Let's go over to the chapter 29 of Isaiah. 29:23. These are the words in this book are just marvelous. I just love it's all written in Hebrew poetry. And that's what's so beautiful. 29:23 of Isaiah. And when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, and that's who we are too, in the midst of him they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. Isn't that marvelous scripture? Then let's go over to 1 Peter 3:15. See, we're living in a day now that the enemy, as we have said so often, the enemy knows that his time is short. And this is what he would like to do to many of us today, is put a fear within our hearts. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God, this is Jesus Christ, in your hearts. Sanctify him. Set him apart in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. It's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart. Praise the Lord. And we do that, then he will be a sanctuary to us. This is a precious verse here. Just as Israel went into the temple for a place as a place of shelter, but it was also a place of grace, it was a place of blessing, so Christ today surrounds us. He hides us in himself, and he blesses us with his fellowship. That is so precious to me, that we have fellowship with him. And that's what 1 Corinthians is all about. He's called us into the fellowship of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That fellowship with him is the reason he has called each one of us. It's precious to have fellowship with one another, but it's more precious to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, to just get alone with him. And I've loved to walk out so many times in our hay meadow, and just, I haven't lately, but just I used to walk out there, and you feel there's a presence of the Lord, just precious. And we know what this is, living in the country. It's something special, but we can do it anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are. Let's go over to the 4th chapter of Isaiah, verses 5 and 6. We have some precious scriptures tonight. Isaiah 4, 5, and 6. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And in the margin, this reads, shall be spread a canopy, or the glory shall be a canopy over all. This is in the future now for this nation. And there shall be a tabernacle, or a pavilion for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and a covert from storm and from rain. That's what he is to us today. Israel will find this out after they go through all the sorrow they've got to go through. Then let's go over to Ezekiel, the 11th chapter and the 16th verse. Ezekiel experienced somewhat what Isaiah experienced when he began to prophesy what the Lord wanted him to tell. This again is concerning this little remnant that is going to come to the Lord at the end of the 7 years. Ezekiel 11:16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Isn't that precious? A little sanctuary. And he is to them. Now let's go to Psalms. We have several in the Psalms I want to read. So let's start with Psalms 27. This is what he is to us today. We sing that song about hiding in him. I flee unto thee to hide me. That's a precious song. Psalms 27, 4 and 5. We'll begin with this one. Wonderful scriptures here. This should be the one thing we desire too. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Have we all found it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire into his temple. That precious. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Who's the rock? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, these scriptures are rich. They're just, the more I read these, I just, like we sang, sink into God. We just sink into them, because that's what this is. This is sinking into him. Then let's go over to the 31st Psalm and the 19th verse, 19 to 21. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, or reverence thee. This fear isn't what we think of a fear. This is a trust. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. What a promise. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, just eat these words tonight. They're precious. Thank the Lord. We just have felt the presence of the Lord so mightily lately. It just overwhelms us. All right. He'll be a sanctuary for Isaiah and these few at this time. But in the future, at the end of the 7 years, he will be a sanctuary for that little remnant. But for those that reject, this 14th verse says, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, that is the northern tribes and the two southern, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is the first reference concerning the Lord about him as a stone. And he's called a stone. It's the first reference to the Lord as a stone. He was someone so small, this is speaking of Jesus, and lying so low on the ground that they stumbled over him. When he came, Israel expected God's deliverer to be high up among the great ones of the earth. So when he came so low, they tripped over him and they fell. Remember when he came? They did. They tripped over him, didn't they? Just take through your mind what they did to him when he came. Is not this the carpenter's son, you know, and they called him the son of Belial. But let's go to chapter 28 of Isaiah, 28:16. The Lord's allowed all this, see, and there's a reason that God allowed Israel to do what they did to the Lord. We are privileged, honored. 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. This is Jesus. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste or be confounded or ashamed. Marvelous, marvelous. Will never be ashamed. He becomes a very precious stone to all who through faith see his divine glory beneath all the lowliness in which he came. We see him in all of the glory. He came from the glory. And underneath that humanity was God, but they couldn't see him. All they saw was a man, the son of Mary. And even that, he was what they call his father, a fornicator, or they just said so many things. But let's go over to Romans, the 11th chapter. When I think of what the world and Israel and man today has done to him, and we would if it wasn't for the grace of God, and to think that the very ones that put the nails in his hands and the very ones that put the crown of thorns on his head are going to stand before him. And I think of that scripture so often anymore. We shall reap what we sow. We're going to reap what we sow today. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. All right, Romans, the 11th chapter, and let's start with the 7th verse. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded or hardened. And that's what God told Isaiah was going to happen. Remember over when he gave him his commission in that 6th chapter? He said, you tell them in the 10th verse, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. That's what happened here. Paul knew it when he wrote this 11th chapter of Romans. He says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Now this is quoted from the 29th chapter of Isaiah. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. See, when that happened, it was just the beginning of Israel's hardness. It's still going on. It's going to go on until the end of the 7 years of tribulation, when God takes away that blindness. And then the 9th verse here in Romans 11, and David saith, let their table be made a snare. We just read that, didn't we? And a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation is come to us, Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. And we could go on and read that. That's a wonderful chapter. But this is why God allowed them to fall and to stumble over this stone that came into the world, Christ himself. And then he says, a rock of offense. And this also caused them to stumble. And he was to be this to both the houses of Israel, the great mass of people, who neither sanctified him nor feared him. And we see this today everywhere, don't we? People today, they don't sanctify the Lord God in their hearts. They don't set him apart. They go their own way. God's not even in their thoughts. I think of that in Romans 1. He's not even in their thoughts. It's sad. But these words, and I wanted to bring in the meaning of gin and so forth. Gin means a trap. These words are heaped together here in these verses, as it were. Notice a stone, a rock, a gin or trap, and a snare. And they're heaped together to show us the many forms of death that are going to come upon this nation Israel. And all of this is inevitable. It's going to come. It's coming. We see it coming fast. Man cannot stop it. But there are different forms of death. But in the future, there is going to be another wonderful story. That's going to be different. A snare means the cause of injury that brings one into evil. And this is what is going on today, the snare. Man is being snared into different things. And all who did not give God the glory would be dashed to pieces. Notice that. Dashed to pieces upon his work, and he's going to be caught in a trap. Remember now, this is the message that God gave to Isaiah, and he's also given it to us, that brings one into evil. This is a real practical truth to me, too, because we can be injured by anything, any person. A person could injure us. And if we didn't take the victory over that and take that injury from the hand of God, that's going to work something for me, it could bring us into evil. Think about it. We wouldn't overcome. We wouldn't go on. We'd keep saying, oh, they did this, they did that. We have to take the victory over these things and go on and take everything that happens to us from the hand of God, that God's allowed it. And think of Job. Think of that dear man who sat there with boils all over him, and those, quote, three friends came and condemned him. And so we can overcome. He did. He did. He overcame. Praise the Lord. That's one of the first things Sister Bodie told me when I went to Bible school. I've said it several times, I know. But she said, take everything from the hand of God. Don't give man the credit for anything. Don't give Satan credit for anything. All right. This 16th and 17th verse in the Hebrew is precious. Firmly bind the testimony. Seal the law to my disciples. Whilst I upon the Lord will wait, who hides his face from Jacob's house. Yea, on him alone, will I wait expectant. Isn't that precious? Now these words are very valuable to us too. To all of us who walk with the Lord. We tie together what we want to keep separated from getting lost, don't we? We have valuables. We tie them together sometimes. We seal what is to be kept secret and open only to one who is qualified. We put it like in a bank box today, or we tie it up and put it away. This is the thought here. This what the Lord is telling Isaiah was hidden from the masses. Only the remnant understood it. And only the people of God today that are really yielding to the Lord understand these truths. A lot of people don't understand them. It's like sometimes we cast our pearls before swine. But the great mass of people despise the Lord. Their hearts were hardened. And as we said, this nation is still hardened today. It's in rejection. And it's only the individuals today who are being drawn out by the Holy Spirit. And they're not going to be among earthly Israel. Today, any Israelite that is saved comes into the church. And the church is a heavenly people. Those who are saved today before the Lord takes his throne in the glory in Revelation 4 are a heavenly people. The nation Israel, the remnant that's going to be saved, will be the earthly people. Their inheritance is here. But ours and any Israelite that comes in today before Jesus takes his throne is a heavenly being. Praise the Lord. They form the church, whether they're Jew or Gentile or bond or free. And thank the Lord. We're going to see a lot of them up there. We see in this, in these verses here, we see from what, 735 BC, clear down to 2,000 years when the nation, some of the nation Israel would come in and be part of the church. This was hidden to Isaiah. He didn't understand this. And I love that scripture in Peter where the Holy Spirit says in 1 Peter that they wanted to understand. They wanted to look into the things that they were writing, but they couldn't understand them because it wasn't for them. They wanted to know what they were writing, but the Lord didn't uncover it to them. They didn't understand this mystery that the middle wall of partition would be broken down, as the book of Ephesians tell us. Praise the Lord. And it's only going to be the remnant at the end time that's going to understand these scriptures. See, these are bound up. These are bound up. They're going to be opened up at the end of the 7 years when this little remnant that is going to be delivered miraculously from the nations, they're all going to want to kill. In fact, that's what they want to do today. They want to push, as who was an Egyptian president, Nasser, I believe his name was, several years ago, said he wanted to push Israel into the sea. See, they want this nation, they want this people destroyed, and they're going to do it. They're going to try everyone, but the Lord's going to preserve this little remnant. We're going to get into that here in Isaiah. So this will be opened up to this remnant, this testimony, this words that he's giving here to Isaiah. But the 17th verse, he says, "And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I," notice the eyes, "will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." Isn't this a precious portion? Praise the Lord. Isaiah here takes the place of dependency on the Lord. He's very, very dependent on the Lord. And we'll wait for him. Isaiah here is very dependent on the Lord. And even though it looks like he has forgotten his people, God has not forgotten Israel. Notice he says, "I will look for him," Isaiah says. Even among the darkness and the declension, I will look for him. Yes, today we see darkness and we do see declension all around us, but we look for him. Yesterday morning we had to take the car over to Council Grove, and coming back, there was something so special that the Lord just, it's marvelous how the times that he gives us with him. It was like he was just covering us and protecting us, that he had a shield all around us. And he does. We're in a world that's full of evil. And every day when you, dear ones, go to work, remember that you've got a shield around you. And the Lord is protecting you from the things that are out there in the world today. Satan's the god of this world. And when we walk with him, we have an enemy. Remember that. These two children that God gave to Isaiah, as well as Isaiah, he says here, "I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders of future events." They were emblems of redemption, which would come through judgment. Remember the meanings of their name? The first one, I'm going to go back, in 8, was that the first one? No, the first one is 7:3. "Shear Jashub, thy son, a remnant shall turn." See, this is future, isn't it? It was not only then, in Isaiah's day, a remnant was going to come back. But this looks clear down to the end of time, when a remnant is going to come back in chapter 7:3. And then in chapter 8:3, again, the third verse, his wife conceived, and the son's name was Maher Shal Al Hashbaz. Can you remember the meaning of his name? I don't have it written. Hasty to the spoil. pay sheep to the spoil. Yes. In other words, the nations are going to come in, and they're going to take the spoil from Israel. So these were emblems of redemption, which would come through judgment. Judgment was going to come to Israel, but also redemption. And that redemption, of course, was going to be through Jesus Christ, who hadn't come at this time, but he will have come and will come down for them at the end of the 7 years. The word sign means a pledge by word or deed portending the fulfillment of an event. And this is what will happen, the fulfillment of an event which was given way back here. God doesn't consider time, does he? He doesn't. It's purposes with him. The word wonder was an indication of the divinely supernatural source and the cause of it. Indication of the divinely supernatural source. Who was that? Isn't that Jesus? See, he was the source through which they were going to wonder at when they see him. Isn't it going to be wonderful? You know, another thought on this verse is that Paul quotes this verse over in Hebrews. Let's go over there. Hebrews 2:13. Oh, I tell you the word I just marvel at. Remember, these sons were children of Isaiah. And Isaiah, as we said, is a miniature type of Christ in some of this. So in 2:13 of Hebrews, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself has children who God has given him. And he will, the 11th verse and the 12th verse is good. Let's read them along with it. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. See, this, Paul had a reason for writing this here. Because this book is written to Hebrew Christians. Isn't that precious? Children out of the Hebrew nation or the Israelitish nation at that time were going to be given to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right. Any questions? Did we understand it as we go along? Signs is a pledge by word or deed that pertains to the fulfillment of an event. Forward to the fulfillment of an event. All right, let's read the 19th and 20th verses. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards, that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek or consult unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Now I want to read this out of the Hebrew too. When they shall say to you, ask counsel of dead ones, inquire of the wizards, and this is what Saul did, didn't he? Who chirp and who mutter, thus shall ye answer, should not a people inquire of its God? Should those who are living take counsel of dead ones? To the law, to the word of divine testimony. If with these they agree not, they shall never see dawning. Now this is really serious. Talk about judgment coming. Before any great crisis in human affairs, there's been an outbreak of spiritualism. And in these verses, God gives a solemn warning against it. Man is made up of a spirit and a soul and a body. And in a time of distress, he seeks support for his spirit. We want to have our spirit lifted up. And Satan has lots of ways to do this, especially as truth is rejected and dependence on the Lord is a rare thing. A lot of them out there. And these wizards, and I think of, told Glenn just before we left home, in Samuel, when Saul rejected the Lord and didn't obey the Lord, God told Saul through Samuel, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. That's in 1 Samuel. Let's see if we can find it. Rebellion is of Satan, in other words. We rebel. It's 1 Samuel 15:23. Now, let's read this. It goes right along with that verse, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 15, and now the 23rd verse. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. This word idolatry is teraphim. It speaks of, again, of witchcraft. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. See, Saul had been anointed king. He didn't obey the Lord. Oh, how it behooves Christians, and that's what's upon our hearts of late, Christians that do not believe this.